Hey, good morning, everybody. Come on, give me a good morning. So good to see you. I want to give a special welcome to family that's here for the baby dedication. Maybe some of you came from out of town, and we're really glad you came to be with us. We hope you've enjoyed the special moment of the babies. They're so, so cute. I love it. So good. So it's so fun to enjoy other people's babies because we get to send them home, and we get to have a good night's sleep. It's awesome. So good. Hey, I want to remind you this Friday night. Anybody know what's going on Friday night? Like, our refuel worship and healing night is Friday night right here. And so if you need to be refreshed and refueled, we invite you to be here. If you just love, you know, Jesus, you ought to come, you know. If you want to come hang out with us, we invite you to be here. It's going to be a great night. Healing service as well. We're going to pray for the sick. We're going to pray for anything that's going on in anybody's life. We just believe in miracles, and we'll see God do great things. And so it'll be great. Amen? So we're in a series called Seeds. And seeds has been a way through the Bible that is like a metaphor to describe the kingdom of God. And so we've been looking at different ways the Bible uses the metaphor of a seed, and then we're learning principles about how God would have us to live based off of a seed. And so Galatians 6:7 says, do not be misled. It says you cannot mock the justice of God. And then it says you'll always harvest what you plant. And so whatever is planted, there will be produce out of it. There will be fruit. There will be a harvest out of whatever is planted. And so today I want to talk about the fact that I am a seed. You are a seed. We are seeds. And so when we are planted, then we are seeds that are planted in the ground. So everybody say, I am a seed. And so when you're planted, God wants to produce a harvest in your life. And I think it's important for you to know what soil you're planted in. What is the soil that you are planted in to become a seed that's planted and grows? And so specifically today, we're going to talk about being planted in the house of the Lord, and I want to talk about the harvest that comes out of that. So when you're planted in the soil of the church, what does God want to produce in your life? So let's go there. Let me pray first. Father, thanks for this day. I pray, Lord, that you would use this message to grow us like a seed. Let the word be a seed planted into our hearts, and Lord, you water it, you cause it to grow, produce something great out of this day. Lord, I pray for parents, all the families that brought their children here to be dedicated. We thank you for them. Bless those families. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this day. And so we just pray this today in the name of Jesus. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So we're going to get to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 92. If you have your Bibles, you can go there. We'll put all the verses on the screen in just a moment. But Psalms 92. And if you had your Bible, you would see at the kind of the top part of Psalms 92, there's like a title. So sometimes I give a title, I always give a title to my sermon, I tell you what the title is, and it kind of describes kind of what we're going to talk about. So the title always gives a description. In this particular chapter in Psalm 92, there's a title, and it says, it's a song for the Sabbath day. And so it's a song for the Sabbath day. Now, for the Israelites during this culture, the Sabbath day was a requirement for the Israelites. The Sabbath was something they had to do. It was something that God had strictly charged the Israelites to keep the Sabbath day holy. And for them, the Sabbath day was a total day of rest and a day to worship God. Now, because it was a have to, because it was required, I think that they may have fallen into a situation to where they had lost their excitement about worship. Anytime you have to do something, it tends to kind of diminish the life in it. It seems when it's a law, it's a rule, you're like, well, I have to do it. And sometimes I think even as kids, I remember when I was a kid and my parents say, you have to go to church. Like, I didn't have an option. They're like, get in the car. And like, if you want to be, you know, eat tonight, get in the car, we're going to church. And so maybe some of you students have felt that way before. You're like, well, I got to go. It doesn't seem as exciting. But there's a different way to approach church and worship, and I think if we can approach it from a place of not the have to, but I get to, then instead of church being, you know, boring, it's life-giving. Instead of it being something that I don't, you know, want to do, it becomes something that that just builds our life, and we find ourselves just loving it. And the psalmist is in this section trying to help the Israelites, I think, kind of fall in love with worship again, fall in love with church again, because they had to. And so we don't want to have to. And here's what it says in Psalm 92, 1 through 4. It says, it is good. Everybody say good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. So it's good to do that. It's like good. Like if God's ever done anything in your life, it's good to say, yes, God, thank you, God. Like just, Lord, I'm so thankful. And so the psalmist is trying to help them who were in a have-to situation to go, this is good stuff, people. This is great. We get to do this. It's good to give thanks. It's good to sing praises to the Most High. It's good to worship God. It's good to say, God, I love you. You're the best ever, and you've saved me, and you've changed my life. And it's good, and he's trying to help the Israelites see this is good. And then it says in verse 2, it is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening. Proclaim is to proclaim the word of God. It's good to hear that God's love is unfailing and he is faithful in your life. I mean, it's good to come to church and the pastor tell you how much God loves you and how much God wants to change your life and how much he wants to transform you and make you bigger and better and bless you and help you and strengthen you. That's in the heart of God. And the psalmist is saying, this is good stuff, people. This is good. Now, they had to, but it was good. Verse 4 says, you thrill me, Lord, with all that you have done for me. You thrill me. Have you ever felt thrilled to go to church? Have you ever been thrilled? Like, wow, yeah, get to do this. Some of you, yeah. It's an attitude of gathering together. It's not that I have to, but I get to, says the psalmist. Have you ever asked yourself, why do I go to church? Have you said, why am I here today? What am I doing here? Have you ever just pondered, what am I doing here? Why do I go to church? It's because, I mean, like some people will say to me, they'll say, Pastor, I'm sorry I've missed the last couple weeks, and, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, look, it's okay with me. Like, you know, there's no judgment here. Like, I'm not trying to put, like, judgment on you. I want you to come, but it's up to you and God. I mean, last week I told you didn't even have to give money, so I'm not telling you have to go to church either. So, you know, it's like, it's all good. Grace everywhere, right? So it's not church isn't about, you know, making the pastor happy. Church isn't about checking off the box. I'm a good Christian, so I went to church today. Check. And no, that's not why we go. If you go to church to check off the box or to make the pastor happy or to keep God from being mad at you, you've missed the whole point of coming to church. It ought to be, I want to give praise to God. It is good to praise God. It is good to hear the goodness of God. I want to. Come on. So he wants us to. Psalm 92, 12, encouraging us about being planted because we want to. He's encouraging us in Psalm 92, 12. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And those who are planted, those who are like a seed, I am a seed, those who are planted in the house of the Lord. When we are planted, there's a harvest. And what is the harvest? It says, you shall flourish. Shall flourish. Not maybe flourish, but you shall flourish. Catch the next screen for me. You shall flourish in the courts of God. It's not even an option. Like, you can't even get away from it. If you're planted in the house of God, it says you shall. It's a guarantee. There's going to be a flourishing life. You shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Amen to that? You know what that means? The older you get, the more fruit you're going to bear. Come on. Your older years are going to be as fruitful as your younger years. They'll be fresh and flourishing. A palm tree, it says. It says we're like a palm tree. We're like a cedar tree. Neither of them grow rapidly, but over time they are resilient and they endure for long periods of time. A palm tree is known to be flexible. And so when a storm pushes on a palm tree, it is flexible, it bends, but when the storm is over, it stands back upright after the storm. When the storms of life hit you and you are planted in the house of the Lord, you may bend, but there's a promise that when the storm is gone, you're still standing, you're still upright, you're still declaring the goodness of God in your life. It says you're like a cedar tree. It grows tall and is extremely strong. You're planted in the house of the Lord. You'll be strong. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they'll grow. They'll flourish. They'll produce abundant fruit. They'll be spiritually healthy. They'll endure the storms of life. God wants to strengthen you when you're planted in the house of God. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to be planted. But check this point out. I want to be planted. I want to be a seed that's planted in the house of the Lord. I want to. That's what's in my heart. I want to. It's good to be planted. And then the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 6, 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good. What is good? It's good to praise God. Don't become weary in your going and committed to church. Don't become weary in doing good. For at a proper time, what happens? You'll reap a harvest in your life if you don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. We're a family of believers. It's good to belong. It's good to be planted. There's a harvest for those who are planted, those who belong. I was thinking about the word belong, and you want to be together for a long time. You want to belong. To be here a long time. Belong. Come on, people. Come on. I don't have to belong, but I want to belong to the family of believers, right? So listen, I grew up in a family that valued church. When we were kids, we went to church. That was just what it was. And honestly, I really enjoyed church. I liked church. Now, it wasn't because we had the coolest church in town, but there were some things about our church that maybe you'd think were kind of embarrassing. There were some parts that were very embarrassing to us. My pastor started the church, and we were little, and we rented out it was an old cleaner's building, and it sat right on a street, right beside the street. And on the street side, there was a bank of windows, and it was ceiling to floor, and we had no drapes, we had no shades, and so you could see in, and the street was a red light right beside it, and the street was from probably that edge of the platform to that edge of the platform. So when you were inside worshiping, and we were that new startup church that clapped when the songs were playing and we raised our hands, nobody else in town was doing that kind of stuff, and so we were the new church, and people would pull up at the red light, and they would just stare at us, and I would be like, it was so awkward. We had this building, and we had about 100 chairs out. There were 50 chairs on this side and 50 on this side with a traditional aisle in the middle. You know, you've seen that set up. And right down the middle was a dividing line of carpet colors. And so on this side was a low blue carpet, and on this side was shag orange carpet. And so you either sat on the orange or the blue, you know, and it was something. It was something else. But listen, I love church. It wasn't about it being fancy. I loved my pastor, Pastor Frank Harvey. Man, I loved that man. He poured into us. The word of God was preached. He was just the best. I love that man. Still love. He still pours into our life. Harriet and I grew up in that church, and he taught the word of God, and I'm honored to have a pastor in my life that just has just poured into us over the years. And Harriet and I grew up there, and it's been 40 years ago, 40 years, and we were planted in that soil there, and God has reaped a harvest in our life. And I want to tell you five things that I believe that you reap as a harvest when you're planted in the house of the Lord. Five things. And the first thing I want to tell you is that when you're a seed and you're planted, that I refocus on God. It helps me focus on God. I love worship. I love it when we're in here worshiping together, and I love our team, but I love it when we worship. Like, this isn't about a performance, about a church that worships together, and there's something so dynamic about that. And what happens, though, is I begin to worship and exalt the name of Jesus, that my focus goes to Jesus. My focus goes to Him, and I'm thinking, and I'm focusing, I'm praying, and everything is all about Jesus, and it helps me to focus on Him. I love what Psalms 122:1 says. It says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I rejoice. In other words, they're like, hey, we're going to go to church, and it's going to be a party, and we're going to have so much fun. I'm so excited to go to church. They rejoiced. Let's go to church today. Man, won't you want your kids to go, heck yeah, let's go to church today. I love it. Why do you go to church other than the fact that Jesus is worthy of all our praise? Well, Sunday service helps me refocus my life on God. All week long, other things are grabbing my focus. All week long, other things are pushing for my attention. All week long, the enemy is trying to distract me and to defeat me. All week long, there's so many things, good things, hard things, and things are going on. I need to bring Jesus to the center of my life. And when we come together and worship, and we come to, as a church, it begins to recalibrate my priorities. It begins to help me refocus my vision on God. I need God to be the source and the strength and my guide and my protection for my week. And it starts right here when I center my life on Jesus. And worship brings Him to the front, the focus of everything I do, and He becomes the center of my life. It helps every part of my life. Look at this graphic. This graphic shows you that Jesus is the center. And what we want is to put Jesus in the center of our life, and He strengthens everything. He strengthens family, work, friends, school, health, hobbies. If you want to be a better dad or a better wife or husband, then put yourself in a place that helps you focus on Jesus and put Him first, the center of your life. He will strengthen you and make you a better family. If you want to be great in business, if you want to be great at work, if you want to get a promotion in your job, whatever it may be, the best place to start is to get filled by the Spirit of God and to begin to focus on Him. You need church to bring it all back into alignment, because everything's trying to distract you. You come in here and it's Jesus, 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 and I go, ah, you're the center of my life, and it centers me so He can bless the rest. Amen. Once a week is a pattern that helps us stay focused and centers our life on God. Every area gets better. I'm a seed, and when I'm planted, I develop my faith and character. Point two, I develop my faith and character. I'm a seed. You're a seed that's planted in the soil of your church. Did you know that a seed has this hard outer shell to it? It's got an outer wall about it. And this outer wall, this outer shell, it needs pressure put on it to be able to break down the wall so that life can come out from it. Without pressure, the seed will not grow. You put a seed on your kitchen counter and leave it there, it will not grow. It needs the soil, and the dirt has the ability to put an appropriate amount of pressure on that seed, and it breaks down the outer shell so that life can come out of it. Without breaking down the shell, life can't come out. Some people have walls in their life, walls of rejection, walls of hurt, walls of distrust, distrust of pastors. Some people distrust the organized church. And I laugh at that. I'm like, then you came to the perfect place, because we're not very organized all the time. People have walls of shame and walls of guilt, and they come here, it's okay. Here's what I love about our church. One of the greatest things we do is we major on God's love and His grace, and it's shown through this people. And if you are here and you stick around long enough, His grace and His love is going to break through. It's going to break down those walls, and the life of God is going to begin to come out, because His love breaks down those walls. That's what He does. It's appropriate pressure. You need to know that you are welcomed here. You are invited here. You have a place here. You're important here. You're included here. We want you here. Welcome home is one of our things because we want you here. God wants you here because he wants to break down those walls. God breaks down that outer hard shell in other ways too. He does it with love. But have you ever been to church and the preacher begins to preach on some topic and it begins to put a little pressure on your character and you feel it? Sometimes people say to me, "Pastor, you really stepped on my toes today." And I was like, "I didn't step on your toes. The Word of God stepped on your toes. Don't blame me," you know. Sometimes the Word of God, though, begins to help us see areas of our life that are out of God's biblical patterns and His ways. And so sometimes when we hear the Word preached, it puts a little pressure on us. And we begin to feel a little pressure. And God uses that pressure to begin to change us and change our character. It's never condemning. Sometimes God's okay with a little Holy Spirit conviction. Right? And he'll change us. He wants to transform us. He wants to do something in your life. Sometimes in worship, the presence of God is like, in my opinion, it's weighty. His glory is weighty. And when I'm in his presence, instead of me kind of standing all boastful and look at me, I'm a great worshiper. Man, when I really start getting a glimpse of who he is and his glory and his majesty, I begin to humble myself in his presence. And it's not about me standing tall. It's about me looking at a great, perfect, pure, majestic God. And in his presence, I begin to say, "God, would you help transform me? Would you change me? I'm just in your presence, and humbly, I'm here before you." It's a pressure. It's good pressure. It's good pressure. God puts pressure on us at times. Sometimes things in church aren't perfect. And listen, if it's never going to be perfect. I don't even think God wants it perfect. He doesn't even want me to, like, preach the perfect sermon. The music's not going to be perfect every time, and the songs aren't perfect, and people aren't going to be perfect. This is never going to be perfect, but it's okay. Because sometimes the things that make us uncomfortable are actually the pressure that God is allowing to come into our life. And what happens to too many people is when they feel a little uncomfortable pressure, they transplant themselves out of that dirt and they go looking for another place to put their seed in the dirt. The problem is you're going to go to another church that's not perfect. You're going to plant there and you're going to get uncomfortable there. Listen, church, I want you to know that God isn't always interested in your comfort. He's interested in your holiness, and sometimes he'll allow some pressure to come into your life. And what you need to do when you feel that pressure, instead of transplanting, you say, "God, do something and break my shell down. Bring out the purity of who you are in me. Begin to cause an anointing to come on me. Put fresh life on that spot." Character is forged under pressure. Gold is purified in heat. Faith and character are developed through commitment and being planted in the house of God. I've been transformed. I'm being transformed. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm sure not where I was. I am a seed, and when I'm planted, number three, I found friends. I have lots of friends. I'm friendly. I like people. I'm social. But there are some friends that play a much more significant role in my life. And we all need friends that will encourage us, lift us, believe in us, speak faith into our life, and to pray for us. We need spiritual friends. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. One person sharpens another person. There needs to be relational place, friends in your life, friends that love you and will sharpen your life. And you find those kind of friends in a spiritual environment. You find it in the dirt of a church, people that will stand with you in the dirt. You need people that aren't afraid to get dirty with you. Friends, spiritual friends, friends that will lift you up, friends will help you face life's problems. One of the greatest values of being planted in the house of the Lord are the godly friends you'll make along the way. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing." Amen. Well, I'm a seed, and I'm planted. I've been planted for over 40 years. One of the things that I've discovered is my unique purpose. Every person has a purpose. Every person has a purpose here. You're called to be a part and to belong and to help build this church. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body. The whole body means everyone, from the front row to the back row. Everybody, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, just as each part does its work. Each part. You are each part. You have a part to play. You are important. Your gift, your talent, who you are, you're important to the body. We need you. The church needs you. There are different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of works. They're all important in building up the church. You have a purpose. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you has a part of it. Your gifts, your talents are part of it. Robert Tuller, he's one of our lead ushers around here. I'd probably say he's more like our lead, like, host, because he greets everybody. I know you've met Robert. If you're here, you've met Robert. Where are you, Robert? You probably, there you are in the back. Robert is always finding his place here to greet you. And I love that. Robert's a successful salesman, business leader, but he has a purpose in the church. He found purpose here. He helps find the guest, and he always introduces me to the guest, and it's awesome. And there's a purpose for every person. There's a place for you. And I want you to understand that God wants to develop your purpose, and he wants you to find it in the soil of the church. Amen? I'm a seed. When I'm planted, number five, I am fulfilling my mission. Maybe I should say I'm fulfilling God's mission or the Great Commission. The greatest fulfillment in life is to help someone else find life in Jesus. That's the greatest. It's nothing better. And that's for all of us. When I was in high school, there was a friend of mine. His name was Travis Moore. And he was a buddy. He and I played football together. And we were friends, and we would hang out and you know, just as high school buddies do. But he didn't know the Lord. Now, I grew up in church, and I was a Christian. And we were going to have a youth retreat. And so I wanted to bring Travis on our youth retreat. And so youth retreats are so important, by the way, students. You need to go. You need to invite friends. And parents, you need to send your kids, because God changes lives in youth retreats. And so we were going on this youth retreat, and I invited Travis to go with us. And so he went. And I remember he and I were sitting by a lake. We were at a place called Look Up Lodge. And sitting on a bench and looking at this little lake. And he said, you know, what is going on? Like, why are y'all here reading Bibles? And I mean, we were doing all the old school stuff that was so important. Reading verses around a campfire. And he just like, I want to know what this is all about. And so I just, in the best high school words I had, I just told him Jesus loves him. And if you'll believe in Jesus, you'll discover all this. And he goes, well, I want to believe in Jesus. And so I prayed with him. He prayed a prayer to receive Christ sitting there on that bench. And, you know, we were high-fiving. And so after that, you know, we went back to school. He was a standout in sports. He was like all-state in everything. He was all-state in football, track, and he was everything, Shrine Bowl, scholarships to colleges, so much potential in his life. About 5 years after that youth retreat, though, his younger sister was in a relationship with a boyfriend. He was a little abusive. And my friend Travis confronted him on his front porch, and this guy pulled out a gun and shot him in the chest. My friend dropped to the ground and ended his life right there. I went to the funeral. And my buddy, he was an African-American guy, and the culture of that church, at least, small little church, packed with people. You can just imagine the heartbreak of this tragedy. Somehow I wound up in the choir section. It was so full. And they were, I've never experienced that much wailing at a moment, and so many tears. I mean, I was overwhelmed in the moment, and And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, it was so rough. Finally, at the end, the pastor said, does anybody have any comments? And I just raised my hand. I said, Pastor, may I say something? He said, sure. And I said, I need to tell y'all a story. I said, about 5 years ago, Travis and I sat on this bench. And I told him about Jesus. And he became a Christian that day. And his mom looked at me and she goes, really? I wasn't sure. And she stood and began to worship God and celebrate. And that little church began to celebrate. And it erupted in a worship moment. And I sat there and I said, thank you, Lord, that I got to play a part in fulfilling one of the greatest things in life of leading someone to the Lord. Because I was just planted in a church. I knew what to do. Listen, there's nothing greater. Would you bow your heads for just this moment? If you've never met Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. Would you just be willing at this moment? I want to meet Jesus. I want to receive forgiveness of my sins. If you're here, would you just say, just lift your hand. Nobody's looking, just me and you. Would you just lift your hand to me and say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want to be a Christian today. I want to believe in Him. Is there anybody here that raised your hand to me? Awesome. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this day. God, I pray that You'd use this message to help us be committed and planted in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Tim, that was awesome. Thank you. That was awesome. My name is Andrea Quinn, and I am a small group leader here, and I have a few announcements for this.